So as I said, I'll be talking this morning about prayer. That's God's activity in our life. That's what prayer is all about. Seeing the hand of God move and act and get us to where we need to be in our life. Now, we don't all have a clear picture of what that is. And quite often it's because we don't have a clear picture of what that we cease to pray or we become prayerless. Because we haven't seen God live up to our expectations. And therefore, since God hasn't met my expectations, I'm not going to spend much more time with Him. Well, there's the problem. Quite often, our expectations are far, far different than what God actually wants in and for our life. It's not a matter of getting God on our plans. It's a matter of discovering God's plans and getting on the same manifest with Him. Listen, if I were to ask you a question this morning, and it's a rhetorical question. I don't want you to answer verbally or by raising hands or anything like that. Raising hands is best done during songs. But I want to ask you the question this morning. How many of you pray on a constant basis? Just answer that to yourself. Is my prayer life a constant prayer life? Am I consistently spending time with God? And if you are you spending time with God for His agenda or for your agenda? What is the basis of your prayer life? Listen, I agree. We need to be praying for our country. I don't believe I've seen evil celebrated as I've seen within the past 10 years. They've celebrated pure satanic evil. To kill a baby in the womb is evil. No matter if you call it a choice, it's still a choice to murder. To enter into a homosexual relationship and then try to ordain that relationship as being sanctified by calling it marriage is still a lie. And yet when our government has thrust those things upon us through fiat, they painted the White House in rainbow colors and celebrated illegitimate sin. They painted a tower in New York City in pink and celebrated the murder of babies. My friends, no matter how high you yell or how long you proclaim it, a lie doesn't become truth just because you believe it. And so when I reflect that back to us and it comes to our prayer life, are we praying truth? Or have we crafted our own prayer life around our own demands? First question I would ask in regards to that is, who are you praying to? You say, I'm praying to Jesus. I'm praying to God. I'm praying to the one who gave us and spoke everything into existence. Great. But why don't we pray to Buddha? Why don't we pray to Zeus? Why don't we pray to a tree? Why don't we pray to the God of our own making? And the reason we don't is because the true God has revealed Himself. And having revealed Himself, now we have knowledge of the one and true God and the understanding of His creation and everything that He's given us. But oh, be very careful, Christian. If you take the knowledge that He's imparted to us and you define it by your own terms, you've created a God after your own making. And when you define it by your own terms and you've created a God after your own making, then you might as well be praying to a tree. Because you're not giving God the credit. You're not giving God the ownership. You're not giving God the leverage of who He is in your life. And all of a sudden, He's become nothing more than a genie in a bottle to go to and rub and make a wish and say, God, will you give me this, that, and the other? So even as Christians, we can get things out of order. And rather than praying to the God who has revealed Himself, we create our own God. But Christians, I want you to know, there is a God who has revealed Himself. He has shown Himself to us. The understanding of who God is can be found in His Word. It can be found in the fellowship of the saints. It can be found in the fruition of His works amongst us. And when we look at who the real God is, all we have to do is open up the 66 books of the Bible and look at those 1,189 chapters and see in those 31,102 verses how God displays His glory and presents Himself to us and says to us, I am God that spoke everything into existence. Trust in me and follow me. And when we do that, we are on solid ground. But oh, when we don't do that and we say, well, what the Bible really means here, when it's plain, straightforward, there is none other name given under heaven and earth by which men might be saved other than Jesus. And we say, oh, but what the Bible really means here? No! Let the Bible speak for itself. God is big enough to speak for Himself. And so His Word has been given to us. And you say, well, it's got errors. Really? It does? You mean God's not big enough to reveal Himself in perfect unity throughout all 66 of those books? He sure is. The reason people place upon it that it's got errors because they say it was written by man. God did speak, man did write. He spoke to Moses, He spoke to Joshua, He spoke to Ezra, He spoke to David, He spoke to Solomon, He spoke to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, He spoke to Paul, He spoke to others, and they wrote what God spoke. Man did not originate the Word of God. Let me say that again. Man did not originate the Word of God. Through those 66 books on three different continents in three different languages, through all the authors that wrote what God has spoken, there is no mistake. There is no error. It's been given so we can know God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's that word. Inspiration. What does that word inspiration mean? Listen, we're going somewhere today back in Genesis, but you got to hang on with me till we get there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That word inspiration is theopneustos. Theopneustos. I had to say it in my mind to say it with my lips, and it took me a while. Theopneustos. What does that word mean? Well, you see it starts with the word theo. Well, you don't see it, but listen, theopneustos. It starts with the word theo, and we know theo means what? God. That's the Greek word for God. And what theopneustos means is it means divinely breathed in. That's the best rendering of that term. And so when we say, and 2 Timothy proclaims that all Scripture is given by inspiration, theopneustos, and it's divinely breathed in, what the Bible record is saying to us is that God divinely breathed in to Paul. God divinely breathed in to Matthew. God divinely breathed in to all the authors of Scripture. And what they wrote, what they penned, was what God breathed in and through them and to you. When you read the Word of God, you are very much, in essence, inhaling what God has breathed to you. Do you understand that? The breath of God is His Word. It's what He's spoken. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. His Word is of crucial importance. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. You don't serve a living deity. How do you know who you're praying to? You know who you're praying to when you get to know the God of the Bible. The one who speaks. He spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. There is a God who speaks. The first encounter to man was recorded in Genesis chapter 1, where the command came to Adam to be fruitful and multiply in verse 28. It was God then who came to Adam. It was God who spoke to him in the cool of the day. It was God that said, be fruitful and multiply. And it was God who continued that relationship with Adam. In Genesis chapter 6, we're introduced to Noah. How? We're introduced to Noah in Genesis chapter 6 by the Bible record saying, and God said to Noah. And then when we come to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, find your way there and look at the introduction that we find with Abram. For you're going to see a similarity. You're going to see a compelling clue to the activity of prayer in the life of the saint. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we meet Abram in that very same way as Scripture says, now the Lord had said to Abram. Do you see the similarities? God came to Adam. God spoke to Noah, and the Lord had said to Abram. The point of prayer is this. Listen closely, believer. Prayer must be more about getting with God than it is about meeting our need. Prayer must be more about getting with God than it is about meeting our need. Did Adam have needs there in the Garden of Eden? He sure did. He didn't even know what needs he had in the Garden of Eden. He's walking about, God's coming and talking with him. Adam's looking around, and God says, here, Adam, I've got a task for you to do. Who gave Adam that task to do? God did. And in the midst of that task, he's numbering and naming all the animals of creation. And as he's named those animals, those types of animals, he notices something. There's two of this one. There's two of that one. There's two of the other one. There's a he-bear and a she-bear. There's a he-tiger and a she-tiger. There's a he-T-Rex and a she-T-Rex. And he realizes a need he didn't even know he had. And God calls that so that God could fulfill that, so that God could bless his creation and give him what he needs. But oh, what if Adam would have been the one that started recognizing this on his own and just doing nothing but turning his attention to that? Then God's glory would have been robbed. Now, as we meet Abram has to understand the dependency he has upon God. Let me ask you a question. Many of you know the story of Abram. He's called out of the Ur of Chaldeans. He's called out of Haran. He's called to be the father of many nations, to go to the promised land. Did his life get easier or harder once he heard from God? Hang on to that as we go through this message, because quite often we think prayer is an assimilation of God to make our life easier. We think prayer is about, God, this is rough and this is tough and this stinks and I don't want to go through it right now. Would you please deliver me from it? Did Abram's life get more difficult or easier as a result of hearing from God? Matter of fact, just look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from the Ur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. They established a home, a domicile, a place to live, a habitat, a crib. And they found them a neighborhood to settle in. Now look at verse 4 of chapter 12. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Not only did Abram go as God had spoke to him, but he had to take his nephew with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed. The age span of man was dwindling at this time. It had dropped from 600 and 700 years down to about 200 and less at this time. And so if the age span is now expected to be in the 150s to 200, you might as well look at Abram and say, this is a middle-aged man that all of a sudden has to pick everything up and move. It's not easier. It's more difficult. And that's the journey God sent him on through God's revelation of himself to Abram. I've heard some wise older saints echo this. They say, prayer is about me reporting for duty. I love that. It's to find out what's on God's agenda, what his plan for man is. The only problem is we've got to be ready to receive if we have that mindset. Because God has something to say. Here's the points I want us to get out of our lesson today. God initiates true prayer. God initiates true prayer. Notice the word true. Because you realize people all over the world do pray. You understand that, right? You understand that Hindus pray. You understand that Muslims pray. You understand the Native American Indian prayed. You understand that throughout the world's history and the world's culture, there were many people who prayed. I'll ask a question again. What makes our prayer different? Because there is one God who speaks. And if our prayer is not assimilated by the one true God who speaks, then it's just like all the others. But God initiates true prayer by revealing himself to you. Again, who are you speaking to? That's the basis for trust and truth. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, look at that with me now. Now the Lord had said to Abram, I don't remember Abram asking, do you see that in the record? I don't. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. All of a sudden there's this direction that God gives Abram. I don't remember Abram asking. But oh, God reveals. God initiated it and spoke in the midst of Abram's life. Where else have we heard something like that before or after? What was Moses doing in the wilderness? You can answer if you know. Minding his own business, that's good enough. And lo and behold, there's something strange going on over here with this bush. It's a fire. And what does Moses do? He goes over there and checks out the bush, and a voice comes out of the burning bush and says, take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Takes his sandals off. And then the Lord gives him the direction for his life. What was Paul doing on the road to Damascus? He was killing Christians, going around from churches, terrorizing the saints. Oh, by the way, I think that day's coming again. When they start calling evil good and good evil and celebrating it, I think that's getting close. I don't mean to scare you this morning, but I hopefully mean to prayer you this morning. And as he's going on the road to Damascus to wreak havoc on other Christians, the Lord shows up, knocks him off his high horse, humbles him. And says, I'm the God who speaks. Listen. And I think he did. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 3. Scripture says, and he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. God speaks to his creation. Get out of your country and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. A repetition of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to show that. Do good parents desire communication with their children? They absolutely do. And do you know what you have to do sometimes to get communication with your children? Do you know, parents, what you had to do if you raised your children years ago, or if you're still raising them now, what you have to do to get communication with your children? Sometimes you got to go open their bedroom door. You know why? Because they're in there. They're not out here. They're in there. They're reclused and they're closed off and they're in their bedroom door. And now with Pandora and all these texting things we have and all that, my goodness, it's hard to even get an audience with your kids anymore. I've even thought about going over there and just flipping the Wi-Fi off at times and waiting for everybody to come running into the kitchen. What's going on? I'm glad you've all come here today. We've gathered for this reason. But you have to open the door. God opened the door. God opened the door to humanity to have an audience with man so that we might have an audience with God. Here's God's open door for you if you need to know where He is. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That's God's open door policy for you to be praying for deliverance from temptation and for righteousness to mark your days. Pray without ceasing. That's God's open door invitation to speak to you, to initiate the conversation that says, I'm here, I'm waiting to hear from you. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, talking to God from whom we were created and expected. Not only does He command us and invite us through that command, but He expects us. As Jesus said, and when you pray, there's that opportunity He expects us to take advantage of. I expect my children to take advantage of the opportunities of communication when I talk to them. I know they won't be able to say everything just right, and I'm learning how to be more patient, but oh, God doesn't have to go down that learning curve. He already knows us better than we know ourselves. If God commands it and God expects it, then don't you think He'll initiate it in your life? His word, His work, His presence, His body, they all speak with you. But if we're not willing to receive, we may not sense the initiation of God speaking to us. Christian, how strongly have you felt God drawing you to prayer lately? To discover Him, to know Him more intimately, to understand the unfathomable, to listen to His voice, and to follow the steps He plots for you. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest. I've not sensed that desire too much lately. Then, Christian, today I would ask you that you go through that open door that He's already opened for you. And you say to God, I don't know what's wrong in my spirit. I don't know what's wrong in my life. I can't put my finger on it, but God, You can. So would You speak to me right now and initiate the understanding of what needs changing, what needs correction, what do I need to do? You spoke to Abram. You spoke to Moses. You spoke to Paul. God, I know You can speak to me too, and I'm listening. And oh God, when You speak to me, I'm willing to do what You tell me to do. You see, if you're not willing, you might receive silence. But if we're willing to receive, how do you know if you're not willing to receive what God has to say? Maybe you're sitting here and you go, I think I'm willing to receive. How do you know if you're not willing to receive what God has to say? Well, as He's spoken through His Word, do you apply it? As He's spoken about gossip. And, oh, by the way, if you're not clear what He says about gossip, let me just fill in what He says about gossip. He says, don't do it. And as He's spoken about gossip in His Word, and you've read that, been a part of that discussion in Sunday school, heard it from a pulpit before, listened to it on WCIF as you've been cruising around town, whatever you've heard the Word of God say about gossip and you understand it means don't do it, were you willing to apply that the next time the opportunity to gossip arose? Or did you just let the habits pick up where they left off before? When you receive God's Word, are you willing to apply it? You see, we have a whole country that is even using the Word of God to justify the abortion issue that took place. They're not only not willing to apply it, they're willing to destroy it in order to perpetrate their own lie. But isn't that what we do when we keep on gossiping? Or when we keep on hating someone? Or when we keep on walking around with a haughty spirit, an arrogant attitude, and a prideful mind? Aren't we saying, you know, the Word of God applies, but this is how it applies to me in that area. I'm okay in my sin. We don't call it sin, though. So if you're not willing to apply it, how do I know if I'm not willing to receive from God? I'm not willing to apply it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house. How do we know that Abram was willing to apply it? Because he left. He went his way. How else do we know if we're not willing to receive from God? When you speak with God, is it a monologue or a dialogue? You've had conversations with other people where you have something to say and you get to the point of about to say what you have to say, but they just keep talking on over you. And what do you do? Most of us just be quiet and listen. Some of us are brash enough, we just jump in there anyway. Well, listen, if you're not going to listen to God, He's not going to waste His breath. Because this divine breath, it's special. So is it a monologue or is it a dialogue? How do I know if I'm not willing to receive from God? Do you pray to discover God's will? Or as we said at the start, do you bring your own to the table? When prayer is about discovering God as He reveals Himself to you, then you'll find that God has much to say. Why? Because not only does God initiate true prayer, God speaks through prayer. You read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, get out of your country, get out and go. God has an eternal purpose and plan through you. Do you understand that as God told Abram to get out and go, that He was going to make him the father of many nations? Israel as a nation is going to come from Abram's loins. But not only is Israel going to come from Abram's loins, but the Gentiles too. And through salvation in Jesus Christ, for the Jew first, is then opened up to the Gentiles because of believing Abraham. You say, that's Abraham, that's not me. Do you not think God has an eternal purpose and plan for you? And the consequences of you following Him that are going to mark eternity because you said yes to Him and you said, I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do and I'll be who you've called me to be. And when you walk down that path and you're willing to receive and to respond what God has said to you, eternity is going to be changed because of that. You may not know how or see it now, But it will. Did Abram see King David one day? No. Did he understand the truths of how salvation was going to be completely enacted? Not completely, he didn't. But he believed God. He has an eternal purpose for you as well. Look at verses 2 through 3. This is where he began with Abram. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so you understand that prayer is initiated by God and God speaks through prayer. What makes Abram so special? He has feet of clay just like you and I. He breathes the same oxygen we do. He has failures and frailties just like we do, but yet Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith, oh, there it is. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You see, that's what makes Abram so special. It's not because he was built and made any different than you and me. It was because he did what God asked him to do. He did by faith what God asked him to do. My question is, why can't we? I think our faith factor is broken sometimes. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives us the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you a simple definition. That was pretty clear, but the simplest definition I could come up with faith is, do I believe God? Because that will tell in your actions. If I do believe God, then what I know He has said, I will act upon, because prayer ultimately moves the faithful to action. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He was moved to action, and it's that prayer that keeps the faithful moving. Again, it would have been easier life in Ur or Haran for him to follow. And he could have just said, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to go there. God, I'll still believe in you right here. But yet, that's not the truth that God had exposed to Abram. And once God had exposed that truth to Abram, it was time for him to walk on it by faith and do what God had called him to do. And many of you say, I've been there. I've followed God. I've walked with Him. And you know what? I blew it. I messed it up. And you can point to a certain time, or maybe it was just a gradual erosion of your faith over time, where you know that you've shown that lack of faith in following after God. But Abram didn't do that. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, he did. Who told Abram to leave Canaan and go to Egypt when the famine hit Canaan? Nobody. All we read in the scriptural text is, and a famine struck Canaan, and Abram got up and went to Egypt. Did God direct him to go to Egypt? Nobody did. Oh, and by the way, when they get to Egypt, he's got a hot wife. It's not my words, that's what the scripture says. And he says, she's so pretty. They're going to take her, and Pharaoh's going to make her one of his wives. So this is what we'll do. And they lie. What's a lie? A lack of faith. Not believing God. Who said God wouldn't provide for them even in the midst of a famine? Who said that God wouldn't take care of the need of His wife even in the midst of the Egyptians once they had left Canaan to go down there? He didn't inquire of God to go. He lied about his wife. He blew it from time to time. And guess what? You and I will too. And when from time to time we blow it along the way, think about Peter. I just have to shake my head sometime when I read the accounts of Peter. But yet at the same time, I have to acknowledge I do those same things. And I'm so glad Scripture, again, God breathed God's breath to us. I'm so glad Scripture says He will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God weighs the heart. If He weighed the actions, if He weighed us blowing it, if He weighed what happens as a result of our unfaithfulness time and time again, we wouldn't be worth it. But God weighs the heart, and He weighs the intent, and He understands the willingness of the servant, and He saw Abram for who he was, He saw Paul for who he is, who he was, and He sees you for who you are. My question is your heart ready and willing to follow after God? God initiates true prayer. God speaks through prayer. Prayer moves the faithful to action. And I can say this because I know that God is real. I know He still speaks. I know that He's given us that open door to Him. And here is a faith-filled action that we can do because He's called us to it, to pray. My question to you is, have you been going through it? Have you been entering that door into the presence of the Holy? Have you been speaking to God on a continual basis? There's no telling the eternal effects God has in mind if you take those steps of faith, because those steps of faith that He's already initiated opens up more steps of faith that He has down the road for you. And oh, you're going to blow it sometimes. You're not going to step right. But as you continue talking with Him and you continue walking with Him, even when you mess up, He has a way of getting glory out of that. My question to you, Christian, is this: where's your heart? Is it open before God, or have you closed yourself off because of self? Today I would pray that that's the first step you take, to go into His presence, if not here, when you leave, and to say, God, I'm wanting to spend more time walking with You. Who knows what eternal consequences will come from that? And I wanted to open up this study in the life of Abram today with that in view. Because we have a tendency to say, oh, that's him and this is me and I could never be. You're not supposed to be. But you are supposed to be you in front of a holy God. And so as we go through this, know that it's God who is speaking the direction. And as you go through this, whatever you're going through in this world, as you're listening to Him, receiving from Him, it's God who's speaking the direction. And that's why even if they do start killing Christians, that's where perhaps you might feel the best understanding of God that you ever discover. And that's okay. So if you've not been in a season of prayer, go through that door. Let it be the discovery that God has for you in 2019 that will drive the steps from this point on. Let's pray. Oh God, so often we take things in our own hand by our own understanding and we don't lean into You. So often we put upon You that which is not right. We turn You into something less than who You present Yourself to be in the Word. And we denigrate Your presence with us. Oh God, would we just simply be more concerned about discovering You and walking with You and being with the God who spoke every piece of matter into existence than we are about how we're going to pay this bill? Would we just be more with you, relinquishing our right to rule, than we are about material things? And when the oppression comes in around us, as society goes the way of the world as they're destined to go, would we also see that you have a plan in place? And that's for your people to still be the salt, to still be the light, and to just be still even in the midst of the storm. To know that you are God and you still reign on high. And God, would we also understand the value of following you is not just for today or tomorrow, but it's for all eternity. And will we place greater importance upon that than the temporal nature that we walk in now? And I pray this in all things, by your glory, for your glory, and in your name. Amen.